One must acknowledge powerful, stirring poetry when one sees it, and that last verse, to me, I think it's probably because of it in the context of funerals the last couple of weeks, but that is an image that I wish you to take with you today, too, that wakened from death you might see and praise for all eternity. Amen. Grace and mercy and peace to you in the name of our risen Savior Jesus, who lives and moves among us even now in this time. Amen. Please be seated. The text for our meditation today is that first reading, the book of Acts reading, as Audrey read for us, Paul's words to the church leaders at Ephesus, and it's with particular emphasis on verse 28. If you look right in the middle of the column there, at verse 28, where the Apostle Paul says to those leaders of the church at Ephesus gathered with him, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock." Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. It's this verse which is the focus of our meditation today. And so I want to invite you to reflect. How full is your bucket? Coming into church today, how full is your bucket? Is it running over already? Maybe it's already overflowing. Maybe it was overflowing even when you woke up this morning. Or maybe if you're like most of us, your bucket needed some filling. Even as I was preparing and thinking about the message and thinking about all the people that I would see today, my youngest son, Judah, who's just 6, asked me this morning, he said, "Well, Dad, how full is your bucket?" And I hadn't asked myself that yet this morning, and it caught me off guard. But it was good. It was good to reflect. And I had to admit, "Oh, it's about half," I said. "But it's getting fuller." How full is your bucket? Well, we go through life with leaky buckets, don't we? Things leak from us as we are in the presence of family and community. Things leak from us as we work, as we come up against our limitations, as we experience our own frustrations and failures even. We need constant filling. And balancing this act of giving and this act of receiving then is a key skill for God's people to learn. That's what the Apostle Paul was driving at here as he was teaching the leaders of the church at Ephesus, the elders that were gathered to him, knowing that he wasn't going to be their caregiver for much longer, knowing that he himself was on his way to Jerusalem where his life was about to change. He had this inclination given to him by the Holy Spirit that he was going to be imprisoned, and his life of ministry was now making a turn towards that which would await him. And we don't know exactly what happened to him in Rome, but his time in Jerusalem led to his imprisonment and then his eventual voyage to Rome, where he had appealed to Caesar, to come before Caesar with his message. Paul was being taken from the church at Ephesus, and now the leaders were being left. And having trained them and having shared with them the gospel message of God's goodness to them, he now charged them with this double admonition. Pay careful attention to yourselves. That was the first piece. And also pay careful attention to your flock. It seems to me today, as we worship in the context of Mother's Day, this is appropriate, this is relevant, this is actually exactly the message we need to hear too, especially for moms whose work and role never ends, even though your kids grow up and perhaps move away and the distance becomes greater. Your work as a mom is always there until the day that you are taken to be with Jesus. So I wonder, how are your buckets? How are you doing with that double challenge of caring for yourself and caring for your flock? Let's think about the first piece first. I wonder if you know a place where you get filled up. I wonder if you go there, maybe even as a regular part of your life. Introverts sometimes seek solitude. Extroverts seek crowds of people or maybe gathering with friends to be recharged. What about you? Where do you recharge? Where do you have your bucket filled? Well, perhaps at some part of your life, you have been filled up here in this place, receiving again the welcome of Jesus as you're welcomed in here, free of charge, free to gather in in worship each week, hearing the good news of grace that comes free of our efforts. It's a message that keeps being poured out into our lives week after week. And so maybe your bucket gets filled up here. Or maybe if you're new here and maybe you're looking for a place for your bucket to get filled, I pray that it would be here in the company of other believers as you gather for prayer, even as we come, as we often do, to the Lord's table and receive his gifts of life, salvation in body and blood, in bread and wine. For some, though, this is also a place to be poured out. And for me, then, as it's my workplace, serving you as a pastor, I also seek other places to get filled up. Whether that's through physical exercise, that's often how it happens for me too. And the joy that comes from exerting myself, either than through a run or some other kind of workout, fills me up for the whole day. It helps me to be a joyful, generous presence in other people's lives. I wonder where it is for you. And you know, here's a chance for you to just take a concrete step and make note. Track along with Jesus as he guides your heart. If you have something to write with, I would just like you to finish this phrase. I feel refreshed when, and you finish the phrase. I feel filled up when, and you finish the phrase. And see if maybe some reflection on that doesn't bring it to a concrete reality in your life. Where is your bucket filled? The Apostle Paul's words here show wisdom. They show the same wisdom of airline flight attendants when they admonish the passengers to fix your own oxygen mask on first. Isn't that always the advice we get? It's because you can't be a help to anyone else if you have an empty bucket. In fact, you're probably going to be a draw, a need that someone else needs to fill then too. So be filled up. That's the first point. Be filled up with the love of Jesus, which is poured out freely and generously and overflows in this place. There is the second statement, though, too, and that's about the flock. Pay careful attention, says the Apostle Paul, to yourselves and to all the flock. To all the flock. Now, that begs the question, who is your flock? I wonder about the mothers here. You probably have a flock that you remember raising even from the time they couldn't walk. And maybe your flock was small or maybe it was large. But you probably had those that you raised up and they would follow you for a time until they became old enough to challenge your leadership, and then they maybe threatened your flock by dissension in the ranks. And so you probably still have a sense of caring for the flock, no matter how old they are or how far away they are. But everybody has a flock, I believe. Even if it's just one person, I believe that God puts a person into each of our lives whom we can uniquely love and care for. So who is your flock? There's another good question to maybe jot down if you have something to write with. Write down, my flock includes, and then just list their names. If a lake has no outlet, it becomes unhealthy, it becomes stagnant. If a person has no outlet, no flock to pour love into, then it seems paradoxical, but the love within us seems to dry up too, isn't it? Pay careful attention, says the Apostle Paul, to all the flock. Not just for their sake, but for yours, so that you have somewhere to be poured out, so that you have a mission, a personal sense of calling, a purpose that Jesus is working in and through you. I think about the Apostle Paul sometimes as he was making his way through the various cities that he'd visited in Asia and also in Greece and in that area of the Mediterranean world that he was a missionary to. I think about the many times that he would be on the road traveling and recollecting then his own meeting with Jesus the first time when he was on the road to Damascus. And if you remember that passage a little bit, we heard it a couple of weeks ago, but it was where Jesus knocked Paul down, knocked him down to the ground and with blindness, with a blinding light, and stopped him in his tracks as Paul had been on his way to bring misery into the lives of believers in Damascus. But Jesus accosted Paul and brought him onto the team where Jesus was at work and said, "Now, Paul, you're going to be with me. And I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go with you wherever you go, and you're going to be my servant now, and I'm going to pour my love into you, and it's going to leak out of you into all of these other places and all the other people that you'll serve. I think if Paul hadn't known that, if Paul hadn't had that experience of Jesus pouring into him, he would have given up many times over. Or he could possibly very likely have succumbed to the elements, and having been imprisoned many times and even shipwrecked, he would have maybe even been killed. But God was with him. Jesus was sustaining Paul, pouring into him, seeing to Paul's needs so that Paul could see to the needs of the church, the flock. Now, the point in all of this is that Jesus knows where you are and walks with you too. He has your chart, your path charted out. The next season of your life is well known to him, and he knows the direction that you're going. And to trust then that Jesus is with you in the everyday moments, pouring his abundance, the abundance of his love and favor into your life, filling you up, filling your bucket every day. It's often through our moms that we feel this when we're youngest. It's Jesus coming to us in the form of a mom with Band-Aids or having made our lunch again. It's Jesus coming to us in the form of a mom on the sidelines at our soccer game cheering or tucking us into bed at night. And yet when we get older and maybe our own children are away from us and we have other opportunities to pour, I wonder if you can exert the same love. Exert the same love as you notice people at the grocery store needing a hand or maybe needing a break. As you notice people on the street who maybe need someone to talk to. It's Jesus pouring his love through you as a leaky bucket into the lives of those around you who can sense that there's something different about you. There's a joy that you bring into the world, and that is really his joy. Jesus in the moments of pain and also of celebration. Jesus in the moments of grief and also of joy. So dear friends, I invite you, as you think about your own bucket, as you go from this place, hopefully with an overflowing abundance of God's love running from your life into the lives of those around you, as you think about your community and your flock, I invite you, dear friends, to find here in the middle of this community called Grace Lutheran a never-ending fountain of grace that can be a filling for you for your whole life, that will never run out, it'll never be exhausted, it'll never run dry, because it comes from God himself, the living Lord, who is eternal and whose love has no end. May you find his filling in this community and in the communities that you plug into, that you overflow into. And may you experience always then his gracious, life-giving love, paying careful attention to yourself and to all the flock for his glory and for the sake of his growing kingdom. Amen. And now may the peace of knowing our living Lord Jesus guard our hearts and minds as we wait for him to be glorified and for resurrection life to come to all. Amen.